struggled for quite a while to prepare this, in part because I wasn't really certain that anything in my story would be worth telling. But as pastor and everybody else has encouraged me, and as I prayed over it, I've been reminded that it's not really my story to keep. It's God's story, as reflected in my life. And how he has transformed it. And while I was reflecting for this, I was looking over an older paperback copy of Dr. Tozier's In Pursuit of God. And on the back cover was a quote from him that I thought fit in perfectly. He was asked about his writing, and he said that others before me have gone much farther into these holy mysteries than I have done. But if my fire is not large, it is yet real. And there may be those who can light their candle at its flame. So that's my hope here. So bear with me. Spent most of my childhood, with the exception of a few years, in Connecticut, in a pretty loving and solid family, raised in the Catholic Church, went to Catholic school, was an altar boy for a couple years. My dad was military, so we moved around a little bit. Got to see some of the country. It was during a period in Minnesota where our family was broken like so many others are. But up to that point, when I was about in middle school, that was really the end of my church exposure for the most part. Anyway, they divorced when I was 12. My dad got remarried, and, you know, I had some less than desirable experiences with a stepmother who was physically, emotionally abusive to my sister and I. I left the house my senior year to stay with family and kind of went out of control from there. You know, an 18-year-old kid with newfound freedom just doesn't know what to do with it. So you can imagine the mistakes that were made, drinking, racing, smoking, and other undesirable things. excuse me. But one of the results of that that time in that house with my stepmother was losing contact with my mother. About 11 years of nothing. That came back later. Anyway, I was able to get out of the situation, try and do something different, you know. So I joined the Army right out of high school. I got married on the way to my first duty station. We had Cody, who's his own blessing story. But that relationship wasn't meant to be. You know, it ended after a short time. But God provided me Cody out of it. But after I came back from my first deployment in the Army, Melanie and I met in 99. We were married in 2001. And it was during that time that faith wasn't really something that was anywhere in my life. You know, we were young and thought we knew everything, and he couldn't tell us anything, you know, down with the establishment, and everybody's backwards and doesn't know what they're doing. We had the answers, as do so many of that age now, even. And I viewed those as faith, anything but their own selves was foolish, and just, you know, how are you going to let go and let control out of your own self? You're the only one that can control yourself and what you do and how much success you had. And didn't realize till many years later how wrong I was. I thought I knew a lot more than I did, and that I was just too smart for any of it. Thanks to Melanie, though, I was able to reconnect with my mother before we ended up getting stationed in Hawaii, where I deployed again. After we came back to Missouri, we were blessed with Gavin. And then it was off to Texas for PA school. And then Georgia, and then that's where we were blessed with Brent. It was while we were in Georgia, we started kind of going to church, but it was more Melanie was going to church, and I was kind of following along. It's okay. Because that's what I was supposed to do. I was going to be an officer in the Army, and man, those, you know, officers are supposed to do certain things, and just good people do certain things. So, check the block. Got it. Moving on. So that was my block check. Follow the wife to church. And that was, it was just before graduation, and we had my mom up, and that was the last time we saw her healthy. Shortly after that, we made our way up here to New York, to Fort Drum, and get ready to deploy yet again with the wonderful 10th Mountain Division. And we had our holiday together, and the day after Christmas, my mother called me, said she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. She had already lost almost 100 pounds and hadn't eaten in 2 months. And just 2 short months after that, I was on a plane again. And I knew just from, you know, the last time I had gotten to fly out and see her really quickly that was, I wasn't going to see her again. Sure enough, 3 weeks after we hit ground, I got the Red Cross message and I was on a plane back home. Hoping desperately to be able to get back and say goodbye. That just wasn't to be. She passed while I was somewhere over the Atlantic Ocean. Anyway, obviously, you know, this led to some conflict for me, you know. Speaking of conflict, the microphone had a conflict with the ground. This is, yeah. You can tell I'm a real pro at this. Anyways, you know, I spent a lot of time angry the rest of that deployment because, you know, war keeps going. Apparently, they don't pause it for death. I had to go back and do the work. So it was the work and more work. And even when there wasn't work, I found stuff to build. So, anyway, I just found any way to distract myself. And it just, I pushed it further and further away. So with that little flicker of faith that might have been creeping in, while Melanie was dragging me to church, it kind of flitted out. And it got so bad to the point. And, you know, there aren't many things that I truly regret. And this is one of them. It got so bad that Melanie had contacted me because they had been in an accident, a really bad one, on the highway, the Mass Pike, and, you know, everybody was okay. But she... She started thanking God for keeping her safe, and I shut her down. And I think in our 19 years together, that was probably the most hurtful thing I ever said to her. But fortunately... I sensed that things were getting a little sideways, that the job was just being, you know, it was too much on the family, too much on me. So we decided after that deployment to leave the active duty, and that's how we ended up here working for CPH. And that's when we started going to, came here. It was actually Pastor Ken Pell's, one of his last services, where he announced that he was leaving. Oh, okay. But anyway, we stuck it out. And, you know, there was, as you all know, you were here, there was a time where it was, things were up in the air, and we had different folks coming in and speaking, but there was some just small thing that was pulling me here, staying here. I didn't really realize what it was, obviously, because I'd been fighting it for so long. And one of the biggest things that I didn't know, that only came out later, was when we were still in Watertown, and I skipped over it, Melanie had gotten baptized in the Nazarene Church in Watertown. And, I kind of quietly sat back in support and, did the thing, took the video like a good husband, and, I just thought it was about her. But that whole time she was praying for me. So she continued to quietly, and I didn't know until Easter Sunday, our first Easter service here, is when I finally took all that heavy bag that I was carrying around and set it down right there. I just haven't been right since. Yeah. You wouldn't believe it, just in that moment of release and surrender, just changed me completely. Anyways, that small whisper that I had been hearing in my ear, it just became a warm hand on my heart. And ever since, it's just grown warmer. And I just finally accepted it's time to stop ignoring the grace that has gone before me in every event of my life. And I didn't even make that connection until my friend Paul invited me to talk at Kairos. And, God does work through us, and he gives us what we need. And he had this talk for me about accepting God's grace or obstacles. And reading and reflecting that talk helped a lot of things sink in for me. I was, like many of us, just getting in my own way. But it's time to stop ignoring it. So I realized that I was being called out away from what I was comfortable in to do something to serve him. And I felt it important to do it here in this church, because it wasn't until here, and it's not the building, but it wasn't until here that I actually saw Christ reflected in so many people. So many people here that joyfully serve the Lord without expectation. And just give. And I think that's one of the biggest influences that convinced me to really listen and go with what God was telling me, and to let go of what I thought I knew. And sure enough, Proverbs 3:5 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and always submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So that's what I have to do. Submit to his will. If I have anything out of this that I ask of you, it's just if there's somebody that you're praying for, that you're praying that will come back to the Lord or to the Lord or find him, don't stop. He will do it. And as the worship team said, it's in his time. So even if it seems like years, just keep going.